warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, just click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's continue our prayer in song with hymn number 431 from the Christian Science Hymnal.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. It's time to delve into the Bible and science and health, our eternal harmony, which can never be lost. That is the thought that has inspired today's readings on the subject of lost and found. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. So from the Bible, beginning with Genesis and Psalms and Ezekiel. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. The rest of the Bible readings are going to be from the Gospels of St. Luke and St. John. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into the Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. While he yet spake, there cometh from one of the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I have perished with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And I'll also read now correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, by Mary Baker Eddy. Is man lost spiritually? No. He can only lose a sense material. It is a sense of sin and not a sinful soul which is lost. If spirit soul could sin or be lost, then being and immortality would be lost, together with all the faculties of mind. But being cannot be lost while God exists. If delusion says, I've lost my memory, contradict it. No faculty of mind is lost. In science, all being is eternal, spiritual, perfect, harmonious in every action. There is no involuntary action. The divine mind includes all action and volition, and man in science is governed by this mind. The human mind tries to classify action as voluntary and involuntary and suffers from the attempt. If you take away this erring mind, the mortal material body loses all appearance of life or action. And this so-called mind then calls itself dead. But the human mind still holds in belief a body through which it acts and which appears to the human mind to live, a body like the one it had before death. This body is put off only as the mortal, erring mind yields to God, immortal mind, and man is found in his image. Matter has no life to lose, and spirit never dies. The only life is spirit, and if spirit should lose life as God, good, then spirit, which has no other existence, would be annihilated. God, without the image and likeness of himself, would be a non-entity or mind unexpressed. He would be without a witness or proof of his own nature. Spiritual man is the image or idea of God, an idea which cannot be lost nor separated from its divine principle. God, the divine principle of man in God's likeness, are inseparable, harmonious, and eternal. God is individual and personal, in a scientific sense, but not in any. Therefore, man, reflecting God, cannot lose his individuality, but as material sensation or soul in body, blind mortals do lose sight of spiritual individuality. Suppose one accident happens to the eye, another to the ear, and so on, until every corporeal sense is quenched. What is man's remedy? To die that he may regain these senses? If the five corporeal senses were the medium through which to understand God, then palsy, blindness, and deafness would place man in a terrible situation, where he would be like those having no hope and without God in the world. But, as a matter of fact, these calamities often drive mortals to seek and to find a higher sense of happiness and existence. If the real man is in the material body, you take away a portion of the man when you amputate a limb. The surgeon destroys manhood and worms annihilate it. But the loss of the limb, or injury to a tissue, is sometimes the quickener of manliness, and the unfortunate cripple may present more nobility than the statuesque athlete, teaching us by his very deprivations that a man's a man for all that. Does God send sickness, giving the mother her child for the brief space of a few years and then taking it away by death? Is God creating anew what he's already created? The scriptures are definite on this point, declaring that his work was finished. Nothing is new to God, and that it was good. Can there be any birth or death for man, the spiritual image and likeness of God? Instead of God sending sickness and death, he destroys them and brings to light immortality. Omnipotent and infinite mind made all and includes all. This mind does not make mistakes and subsequently correct them. God does not cause man to sin, to be sick, or to die. A blundering dispatch, mistakenly announcing the death of a friend, occasions the same grief that the friend's real death would bring. You think that your anguish is occasioned by your loss. Another dispatch, correcting the mistake, heals your grief, and you learn that your suffering was merely the result of your belief. Thus it is with all sorrow, sickness, and death. You will learn at length that there is no cause for grief, and divine wisdom will then be understood. Error, not truth, produces all the suffering on earth. If a Christian Scientist had said, while you were laboring under the influence of the belief of grief, your sorrow is without cause, you would not have understood him. Although the correctness of the assertion might afterwards be proved to you. So, when our friends pass from our sight, we lament. That lamentation is needless and causeless. We shall perceive this to be true when we grow into the understanding of life and know that there is no death. Life is deathless. Life is the origin and ultimate of man, never attainable through death, but gained by walking in the pathway of truth, both before and after that which is called death. There's more Christianity in seeing and hearing spiritually than materially. There is more science in the perpetual exercise of the mind faculties than in their loss. Lost they cannot be, while mind remains. The apprehension of this gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf centuries ago, and it will repeat the wonder. We lose our standard of perfection and set aside the proper conception of deity when we admit that the perfect is the author of aught that could become imperfect, that God bestows the power to sin, or that truth confers the ability to err. Our great example, Jesus, could restore the individualized manifestation of existence which seemed to vanish in death. Jesus restored Lazarus by the understanding that Lazarus had never died, not by an admission that his body had died and then lived again. Had Jesus believed that Lazarus had lived or died in his body, the Master would have stood on the same plane of belief as those who buried the body, and he could not have resuscitated it. When you can waken yourself or others out of the belief that all must die, you can then exercise Jesus' spiritual power to reproduce the presence of those who have thought they died, but not otherwise. The material body and mind are temporal. But the real man is spiritual and eternal. The identity of the real man is not lost, but found through this explanation, for the conscious infinitude of existence and of all identity is thereby discerned and remains unchanged. It is impossible that man should lose aught that is real, when God is all and eternally is. The notion that mind is in matter, and that the so-called pleasures and pains, the birth, sin, sickness, and death of matter are real, is a mortal belief. And this belief is all that will ever be lost. This mortal seeming is temporal, It never merges into immortal being, but finally disappears. And immortal man, spiritual and eternal, is found to be the real man. Christian Science separates error from truth and breathes through the sacred pages the spiritual sense of life, substance, and intelligence. In this science, we discover man in the image and likeness of God. We see that man has never lost his spiritual estate and his eternal harmony.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
For the kingdom, the power.